Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. And all of you who are worshiping with us online, we're so grateful that you've chosen to be a part of this service with us today. Well, I guess all of you know that football is right around the corner. This has not been a good baseball season for me. I have not had much fun with baseball. I think probably some of you know, most of you know, that I am a Texas Rangers fan. And usually at this point, when I make that statement, I get booed. And so I know you wanted to, but you just were so kind. Last year, the Texas Rangers shocked all of us. Actually, we didn't see it coming at all. They suddenly discovered how to play baseball. Had a really good season, a great season, won the World Series, for crying out loud. But then over the winter, they totally forgot how to play baseball. And so that's been the season for me this year in baseball. But there is now the Houston Astros, for the eighth year in a row, are going to make the postseason. I'm totally convinced of it. And I want to tell you, I think the reason why is because the Astros have learned how to be champions. I don't think you are champions automatically, and just because you win once or twice doesn't make you a champion. Learning how to be champions. I mean, this hasn't been the greatest season that the Astros have had, but they've turned it all around, and I think it's because they're champions. They know at the right moment when to really find it and get it going, and I think they're going to make the postseason for the eighth straight year, and I'm going to be cheering them on to win the World Series. But I will tell you, I'm looking forward to football season because baseball didn't turn out exactly the way I'd hoped. One of the most famous stories in college football history is the story of Wrong Way Regals. And did you know that it's almost 100 years old? I was stunned by that. It actually happened in 1929, of all things. It was the Rose Bowl, and California was playing Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl. And Regals, who was an All-American and a fantastic player, ball player on the defense side, picked up a fumble and headed for the goal line. And this was going to be the first time he scored a touchdown on a fumble as a member of the defensive team. Only problem is he was going the wrong direction. That really messes it up. So he was headed toward the wrong goal line, and there was one of his players faster than him, and that player caught him at the one-yard line and tackled him at the one-yard line. Regals did not know why he had just gotten tackled. Benny Lahm was the name of the guy that tackled him on the one-yard line and saved the day. When Regals discovered what he had done, he said in an interview after the game, "I just wanted the ground open up and swallow me up and never anyone see me again." It was in front of 60,000 people. He got to the sideline and his head coach left a spot, went and put his arm around Regals, Roy Regals, and he said, "Roy, you're the most fantastic player I've ever had. You are incredible. You're an All-American. Anybody can make a mistake. Go out and have the best second half you've ever had." And that's exactly what he did. Now, why bring up this story other than the fact I'm trying to forget baseball? Because I want to be the Benny Lahm for you, to tackle you on the one-yard line for some of you today. So what in the world do I mean? This is the greatest church I've ever seen in my life. You got more talent. This church has more success, more incredible people, wonderful people, love God, live for God. It is the most talented church I have ever seen in my life. I've told people that there's more leaders at Sugar Creek than any place collected I've ever seen in my whole life. But here's what I want to ask you. But are you still using what God has given you in service to God and service to others? Are you still faithful in serving God? I bring it up because this is really a challenge that you'll find many places in the Bible, and in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, here's what he says to us. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Anybody, anytime can lose the direction and go the wrong way. Anybody can do that. You got to stay diligent. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And nobody has to explain to us how evil the days are today. There are times in which I think that this country has lost its mind. And it seems to me that the loudest voices that we're hearing in the culture are the voices telling us to go the wrong direction. And it's not just in this country. I think it's in Western civilization. I think we've been a part of creating it in Western civilization, but it's Western civilization. And I bring out this point. The Olympics in Paris and the opening of the Olympics has a depiction, and no matter what they say now to try to get out of this, it was a depiction. It was intended to be interpreted as a depiction of the Last Supper mocking Jesus Christ and Christians. Now, I know what they said, and what they said makes sense, but they put into it very clear symbols of the Last Supper, and I think they did it for a reason. I refuse to watch the end of the boxing for the females. I refuse to watch it because there's two men that were boxing women, beating up women. And they won the gold and the silver. And of course they did. And the guy that won the gold doesn't even pretend to be transgender. He's something else I didn't even understand. What he is a man beating up women. And we put those people in jail. But in the Olympics, they give you the gold medal. And I just think something's terribly wrong. He says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Every opportunity. You and I have so many opportunities along our path. And he says, make sure you make the most of every opportunity. And here's what I want to say to you. I'm asking you to make the most of your now. What happens is that teenagers that are in high school have a tendency to say, well, I can't serve God right now because I'm in high school. But when I graduate, man, I am really going to serve God. Except now I'm in college and I don't have time to serve God because I'm in college. So when I get out of college, I'm going to really serve God. But the only problem is that now I'm married and I've got to take care of my spouse and I got kids. But when my kids are grown, I'm going to really serve God. And then when the kids are grown, you know, I'm so old, I got to let the younger people do this. And everybody's got an excuse for why they won't serve God. But here is what he's saying. I want you to make the most of now. Wherever you are now, I want you to make the most of now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Pastor Xavier, what a great message last week. Pastor Xavier reminded us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. That word workmanship means a masterpiece. And I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself as a masterpiece. But God says you're a masterpiece, but not a masterpiece to sit on an easel somewhere. Everybody look at me, I'm a masterpiece. It is not for that purpose. We have been made a masterpiece of the talents and abilities that he's given to us so that we would do good works. That's what he says, which God has prepared for us to do. Now, what I'm going to do at the end of this message is that I'm going to ask you if you would go to the back of those student notes and you would see the first QR code, and that takes you to a whole list of areas of ministry in which we have needs in our church. And I'm going to ask you, would you go and consider being a part of ministry in this church in some way because we need you? And it might be that it's worship you want to be a part of. Well, this is your Sunday because there's all these tables out there for the worship ministry today. You go out and you go explore where you want to be a part of this worship ministry. It's the greatest worship ministry in the world. Or if it's not worship ministry, some other ministry, children, students, whatever, go to the Next Step Center if you want more information. But for sure, the QR code. Now, when I get to the end of the message, I'm going to tell you that. But I decided not to say it until I get to the end. Now, I want you to hear me. You are a masterpiece. I look in the mirror and it don't look like a masterpiece to me. I don't think of myself as a masterpiece, but I am, because I am a child of the Most High God, and He created me, and you are too, and He has created you. And it was not to sit on an easel and let everybody admire you. It was for good works that you would do ministry in the lives of other people, and we need you. And so that's where I want to put my emphasis today. Our abilities that has been placed inside of us as a masterpiece, our abilities are road signs which point us in the direction that God wants us to go to serve in. One of the passages in the Bible that I've loved for so many years, early in my ministry, I put so much effort and time in understanding 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wanted to understand the spiritual gifts, but I also wanted to understand the church in the context of how Paul lays it out. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that everyone who knows Christ is a part of Christ's body, a part of his body. Jesus is eternal. Jesus had no beginning. He has no end. Jesus certainly didn't start in Bethlehem. And I have people so surprised by that every time I say it. Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem. Long before Bethlehem, he's on the right hand of the throne of his heavenly Father. He is God the Son, full of glory and power. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he laid aside all that glory and all that power, and he humbled himself and took on a body of human flesh, born as a baby in Bethlehem, and grew up like you and I did, went through all the stuff that you and I go through, all the problems and the difficulties and the struggles he experienced, so that he could experience what we experience. And then he, as a man, taught us things about God we did not know before. New understandings about God, and he performed miracles that only God could perform. And then he gave himself up and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He was sinless. If he wasn't sinless, how in the world could he die for our sin? He'd have to die for his own. He was sinless so that he could die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And 3 days later, he raised up from that grave bodily, physically. He was raised again. And then for 40 days, he spent with his disciples. Not 4 hours, not 4 days. He made sure they knew he was no mirage. He was with them for 40 days, and he taught them back through all the stuff he had taught them before, but now they're talking to a resurrected Jesus Christ, and now he has their attention. And after the 40 days, he ascends back up into heaven, and one day he is coming back physically, bodily, to this earth in the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he's coming for us. Now, between now and then, we are Christ on this earth. That's what he meant when he said, now all of you together are Christ's body. And each one of you is a separate and necessary part. And I gotta tell you, I love the last "and a necessary part." Because I got to tell you, sometimes growing up, I thought, I'm not anything. I'm not necessary. And there are people that I talk to who say, they never miss me. I don't need to be a part of ministry or service. I don't even have any talents. I don't have any abilities. I'm not a necessary part. But you are. And that is why, no matter which part of the body of Christ you are a necessary part. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 is saying this. Listen to how he puts it. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason not belong to the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body was an eye, can you picture a body that's just a giant eye? Can't get around, can't grab hold of anything, can't hear anything, just sees. If the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of smelling or hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. And you are the part of this body we call Sugar Creek Baptist Church, and you are a part of it just like God has intended for you to be. Well, it's those people up there on that platform, they're important, but with me, it's not. No, it's not true. Did you know that an extensive study was done on people that visit a church for the first time? There's studies on everything, I'm telling you. And a study of a person who goes to church for the first time. And the question was asked, when was it in the service that you made the decision, I'm going back to that church? Or I'm never going back to this church. What part of the service? What part of the service? And did you know the overwhelming majority said 5 minutes into the service? Well, I was a little stunned by that because I don't get up until 25 or 30 minutes into the, so 5 minutes into the service. You know what that means? They weren't making a decision to come back on the basis of worship, even though our worship is great. They weren't coming back because of the preacher. None of that. So what was it that affected them by the time of 5 minutes into the service? What had happened was everything from when they drove onto the property and people met them at the car and said, yeah, go right in this way, and went into the building. People smiling, we're so glad you're here, in the guest ministry. Hey, let us help you get your kids in the right spot. You bet we'll take care of you and help you. And going into the worship service, and people smiled, and people were friendly. And that what happened was, what they said in the study is, they wanted us here. We mattered. They wanted us to be here. People were friendly. I felt a part. We have, every couple of months, we have a thing called Discover Sugar Creek, and it's for people that are new you're just visiting. Maybe this is your first week, or you've been here coming for several months, whatever, but you're kind of new. And we have this thing called Discover Sugar Creek, and by the way, it's going to be next week. And if you want to come to Discover Sugar Creek, there's a place to sign up by the next Step Center. But if you're new, that's the greatest thing you could go to, because you're going to learn more about this church than you'll learn anywhere else. I've been to several of them because I go in and I meet people that are visiting here and just early and new at Sugar Creek. And I've asked so many people, why did you decide to stay here? Oh, you are so handsome, Pastor. They never say it. You know what they say? You know, people tell me, this is the friendliest church I've ever been a part of. People in this church just love each other. People in this church care about me. I couldn't believe it. I looked around and I could see myself here. And what I'm trying to say to you is, you're important. And how you treat other people is important. And what you do in ministry is important. And it's not just the guys on the platform. You are a necessary part of what God is doing in this place, in whatever ministry he's telling you to do. Now, God uses several factors to determine which ministry he wants us to be in. And I don't usually read the Good News translation. There's a million translations. Good News is fine. I don't usually read it. But I was reading the Good News translation by just happen chance in 1 Corinthians, and when chapter 12, verse 4 and 6, and when I read it, I thought that is the best explanation I've ever heard of this passage, and listen to how it goes. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Spirit that gives each one of them. There are different ways to serve, but it's the same Lord that we serve. There are different abilities to perform service, but God gives each ability that we have, all of our abilities, have been given to us for God to serve him. I thought this is the most organized, the most easy to understand thing. Every single person has one or more spiritual gifts who've come to know Christ as Savior. The very moment we accept Jesus into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And the moment he comes to live inside of us, he gives to you one or more spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are identified in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this passage, and in Ephesians chapter 4. It's the Lord that leads people in the different ways in which they serve God, but everyone's serving him when they do it. And third, it is every person has different abilities that God gives to us in order to perform our service to him. Now, I will tell you, in my former church, I talked a great deal about spiritual gifts, but the more diverse we became here, the more difficult spiritual gifts to teach spiritual gifts happened because we come from so many backgrounds. And I came to a conclusion a few years ago, what I needed to do is focus more on the idea of abilities. They are still gifts from God, the abilities, because I think most people understand those. So it is abilities I'm going to grab hold of, but spiritual gifts are important, are very important to, and to have an understanding of them. It's just Sunday morning in the time because of our diversity. I'm not talking about ethnically, I'm talking about religiously. So I want to zero in on the idea of abilities. More people understand that idea the same way. Here's some facts I want you to know about the abilities you've been given. First of all, God has given you more abilities than you can even imagine. You have more talents and abilities than you can even imagine. Romans 12, verse 6 says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. My oldest sister is an incredible singer. She literally can sing the stars down. When she was in high school, she discovered this incredible gift God had given to her, and she began to compete on a state level, and she would win almost every time. And as an adult, she began to be used by God in singing and church, but in other venues too. And one day, a talent scout talked to her and said, "You got a great voice. I would love for you to do something else." And he was presented to her. But she said, it was secular songs. And she prayed about it and thought about it and went back and told him no. She said, "I have this gift that I want to give to God, and I'm not going to give to anybody else." So she made a decision not. And God has used her in an incredible way. My second, I've got two sisters. I'm the baby of the family. And the third, and my other sister is an excellent singer too. But when we got to me, I guess all the talent had been distributed. I don't know. It was all gone. So at my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, my two sisters came up with a great idea of, let's do a trio and let's sing a song to our parents. And all the room was full of all extended family. It was just packed. And I said, "No, you do a duet. No, we're going to do a trio. It's got to be all three of us." So finally I said yes, because I thought if I sang low, it'd be fine. And then I find out I have a solo. I have a section. All of us have a little section in that song, and I have a little solo. Every time I've ever done a solo, it was so low no one could hear it, but they got to be able to hear it. I got to tell you something. I was so nervous, I didn't know what to do. And we got into the song. There we are. Place is packed. My parents' 50th anniversary. We're singing the song. And as we're singing the first part of the song, I realized I can't remember any of the words I'm supposed to sing. I did not remember any of the words. I went totally blank. So it came to my part. I knew the tune. I made up the words. Not one word came from the song. I made up all the words, and I rhymed it at the end. I don't know how it happened, but I got a rhyme at the end. And while I was singing it, my two sisters looked at me like, "What is wrong with you?" And I looked back at them and as if, "Go with this, and it's all your fault. So just go with it." So I came to the end. I rhymed it at the end. We finished it. My parents never knew. No one in the room. They applauded us. I had people come out, "Oh, you're amazing. I had no idea." And I realized it doesn't matter what words you sing. As long as it rhymes, people are fine. They go with it. I'm just saying, when God called me in the ministry, I knew it was not as a worship pastor. But I do have talents. And you have talents. It's not the same ones. Tony Price has whole different talents than I have. We have different talents. You have different talents. But God wants you to use your talents. And you can't believe the amount of talents you have. Did you know a research was done on that too? How many talents does the average person have? And did you know what they came up with? 500. Between five, the average person has between 500 and 700 talents. What? I've had so many people say, I have no talents. You got at least 500. You can do at least 500 things. Somebody else at least 700 things. You got more talent. And here's what happens. Did you know that if you quit, you are never to retire from God? But there's some people at some point quit, and you don't even know half your talents yet because God has intended you to go all the way. Learning new talents, learning new things that he built in you. This is his masterpiece he's wanting you to understand that he put inside of you. And what I'm trying to say to you is that you are unfinished. You're not dead yet. God's done with you when you get to heaven. But if you're not in heaven, he ain't done with you. And he doesn't want you to quit on him. And there are things you can do and impact that you can make for God and others, and he intends for you to do it. Keep learning, keep discovering this masterpiece he built you to be. So whatever it is you can do, do it for God. If you can repair a car for the glory of God. It means you do your best. If you can balance financials, do it for the glory of God. If you can cook, do it for the glory of God. If you can run an office, do it for the glory of God. If you can catch a football, do it for the glory of God. I read a story this week about 20 of the players on the football team for Ohio State University. 20 of the players who are all Christ followers got together and decided on this particular practice, we're all wearing Jesus t-shirts. And they said different things. One said, follow Jesus. One said, Jesus won. Jesus saves. God's got me. Just here to give glory to God. All their t-shirts were different, but every one of them had a Jesus t-shirt on. 20 ball players. And they decided on practice, this practice day, we're all wearing it. And you know what? I read that article and I said, they got it. They understand. They know how. They have this talent in football and they're doing it for the glory of God. And every time I hear an athlete in any sport being interviewed and he talks about giving glory to God, I think to myself, oh my, so you understand. You understand. Listen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever your talent, that means you do your best. It means you're totally honest. It means that you, in everything you do, do it for God. God, I'm giving you glory by doing this thing for this person. I went to see one of my doctors. You know, there's all kinds of doctors, and I went to one of them, my doctors, this week and a half ago, and I didn't have anything wrong with me. It was just a normal checkup. And when we were done, he said, well, let me pray for you. And he prayed for me. He didn't always do that, but he's done it before. And I thought to myself how meaningful that was to me. And I thought, he gets it. He has the talent of doctoring. But he does it for the glory of God. Do whatever it is you do for his glory. So listen, you are talented, and some of you are 700s. And I'm very jealous. Our abilities show God's general direction in our life. This is important. Once we start discovering who we are, the greatest thing that happened to me is that I came to understand who I am. my talents, my abilities, my personality, my life experiences, I came to understand how I had been wired and what God wanted me to do with my life. It's the greatest thing in the world. If you don't come to understand who you are, you'll become nothing but a people pleaser. You just pleasing this person, that person, that person, just trying to make everybody happy. But when you come to discover who you are, how God made you, your talents and abilities, your strengths, all of this, you come to understand who you are, you get so released in life to be it without having to please everybody. Generally speaking, God uses our talents to help us discover who we are. Third of our abilities show what specific ministries that God has called us to do. Hebrews 13, 21 says, God will equip you with all you need for doing His will. Some of you, there's many in this church that are 700s. It's between 500 and 700 talents, and there's a bunch of you that are 700s. And here's what I say to the 700 people. I'm saying to you, would you get out of your comfort zone, since you can do anything? No matter what you do, it turns to gold. Get out of your comfort zone, do something that stretches you and moves our church's ministry to a new level. And I don't even know what that is, but I'm asking you, and I just felt impressed to say this, and I don't know who it's to. But I'm challenging you to go out of your comfort zone to help take our church to another level. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 and 26 says this, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I run with purpose in every step. Long ago, God gave me this verse. And He said, Mark, here's what I'm asking you to do. Every step from now to the end of your life, run with purpose. And I'm challenging every one of you. Don't just live. Don't just get up and go to bed the next night. Don't do that. Live with purpose in every step of your life. And purpose will always be involved in blessing God and blessing others in some way. So how do you do this? Well, how do you get off the sidelines and into the game? How do you do that? Somebody said that church ministry is very much like a football game in which there are 22 people on the field in desperate need of rest and 60,000 people in the stadium with desperate need of exercise. And here's what I want to say. In church, it's so much that way. A handful of people are doing 6 and 7 jobs because there's nobody else to pitch in and they get burned out. And I don't want ministry like that. Ministry was intended that every one of us do something, to be a part, some ministry of some kind, some talent and ability that God has given us. Well, look, Mark, I've only got 30 minutes. I can give a week. That's okay. We got 30-minute jobs here. No matter what you got, we got jobs for you. We got ministries that you can do with whatever time you have. But help somebody else that's doing too many jobs in order to keep things going. Help someone else out so they don't have to do too many jobs. And say yes. Well, this is such a big church, they don't need me. No, the bigger the church, the more we need you. That's actually what is true. The bigger the church, the more we need you. So what do you do? First, take an honest look at the spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities God has given you. You don't have to be humble about it. You're really good at a whole bunch of things. And the more you learn, you don't have to be humble about it. Thank God. He's the one that did it, not you. He's given you talents. What do you do good? Keep an open heart about a new thing that God wants to do in your life. Second of all, dedicate all of yourself to God. All those talents, give them to God. He says in Romans 12, 1, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated for his service and pleasing to him. Take everything you can do, whatever your talents, and say, God, these are yours. Dedicate, be a living sacrifice. Three, develop your skills. Keep learning more. Keep growing more. Never arrive. Never arrive. Proverbs 19, verse 8 says, do yourself a favor and learn all you can. Then remember what you've learned and you'll prosper. Keep growing. Keep growing. In Ecclesiastes 10:10, he says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. There are times in which when we're doing something, it's the axe starts getting dull. Sharpen the axe. So you don't have to use as much energy. Sharpen the axe. Keep growing stronger. Keep getting more training. Here's the fourth thing. Find a ministry in which you can use what God has given you to bless him and others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, God has given to each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. The reason for these talents is to use them to help each other. Now, I'm asking you, there is this QR code that's the first of the two, and I'm asking you this morning or this afternoon sometime, would you just scan it and see what's there, and I wonder if God is leading me to be a part of that. Well, you can respond. You'll get a response back, and maybe when you leave, go out into the commons and explore worship or go in the Next Step Center and explore any other ministry. Now, here's two questions I want to ask you, and we're done, and this is it. Why did God bring you to Sugar Creek? Here you are. Why did God bring you here? Yes, it was for this church to bless you and help you and help you to grow and know God better. All that is true. But there was also a reason that he brought you here, to give to other people, to use your abilities and talents to somebody else, not just everybody doing for you. You're doing now for others, and I'm asking you, open your heart to ministry. And here's the second. How could God use you to make a difference in this church? Because we need you. And I'm asking you to open your heart to some ministry that God is calling you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for how wonderful it is, and you are trying to help grow us up. Part of spiritual maturity is spending time in your word and praying, but also part of spiritual maturity is giving back of our time, our talent, our energy in helping and blessing others. And as we do it, Lord, we're doing it for your glory. So, Father, I pray that you would touch the hearts of individuals who, for some reason, have just never gotten involved, for some reason were involved and now aren't. And, God, I pray that you would open up their heart for a new season of ministry to care for other people. And, Father, as they serve, lighten the load for everybody else. And these things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.